Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the 22nd Sunday after Trinity comes from our Gospel reading of Matthew. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." Thus far the text. "Oh, Peter, you've once again inserted your foot into your mouth. And now the whole world is pointing at you and laughing. How silly you are, Peter. That bombastic attitude just seems to get you in more trouble than you could ever imagine. I, for one, though, am glad for Peter. He asks those stupid questions that everyone else is thinking. He isn't afraid to raise his hand and make a complete and utter fool out of himself. All the rest of us are standing in the shadows, whispering and wondering about the same exact things, and then we think and we see Peter, and we say, 'Hey, he's not afraid to be that guy. Let's have him ask Jesus.' And he does. And he will next time, too. Suffice it to say, I thank God for Peter. He's just like me, except he seems to be a whole lot more honest in admitting that he doesn't understand everything." So Jesus, is seven times enough? Surely seven must be enough. Forgiving your brother seven times seems to be going above and beyond, wouldn't you think? Of course you would, Jesus. I do too. Seven times. Goodness, he doesn't deserve to be forgiven the first time. And then the second. Well, goodness, that's downright magnanimous of me. And the fact that I'm willing to then go along with the third and fourth and fifth, the fact that I'm willing to lend my brother that forgiveness a seventh time, my gosh. Talk about saintly. But then Jesus goes ahead and brings Peter, brings me down off of my pious perch and tells me that because I am willing to put a number on forgiveness shows that I don't really understand forgiveness at all. Jesus, he puts a number on it too, but his number is a ridiculous one. 77 times 7? 490 times? Jesus might as well say that you have to forgive your brother a million times, because none of us are ever going to get up to that 490 mark. Goodness, let's be honest here with each other. We aren't really going to get up to that saintly seven times mark that we just put forward. And how do I know that to be true? Because I can barely forgive my brother the first time. To really begin and have a conversation about forgiveness, we must understand what forgiveness really truly is. Jesus says that when our Heavenly Father forgives us for the sake of Christ, that he removes our sin from his sight as far as the east is from the west. So think about a globe there. If you head north, you will eventually start heading south. So north and south are not separated from each other. But east and west, if you keep going east, there will never be a time in which you go west. The two are removed from each other in complete perfection. And so when our Heavenly Father forgives us the first time, and he removes our sin far from him, as far as the east is from the west, then it is forever forgotten. He remembers that sin no more. Which means the next time that I have to go before him with my sin needing to be forgiven, it's like the first time, all over again. That's what forgiveness looks like. Sins removed from sight and forgotten, with no remembrance of them to help taint the next time forgiveness is needed. But when Peter goes up to Jesus, and when we hide behind Peter, waiting for Jesus to answer our question, his question, The very fact that we put a number to this whole forgiveness business shows that there is remembrance to our forgiveness. We want to count our brother's transgressions. We want to keep a record of all of them, so that when the time comes, we can finally say, "I'm sorry, but you've ran out of chances. You've used them all up, all 490 of them. I've done what I'm required to do, and so I'm not going to do anything more." No, that sin is going to have to stay on you. That's what we're saying when we put a number on forgiveness. And Jesus' answer to me is, "Eli, that's not how forgiveness works." Jesus then tells Peter, he tells us, a parable, a story that isn't really going to make any sense to us, because we're still thinking about forgiveness like a transaction that can find its final fulfillment if so-and-so does such-and-such too many times. Or if so-and-so does something so bad that it actually jumps over that line into the unforgivable. So imagine, if you will, a king who's lent out money to all of his servants. The day comes for the accounts to be settled, and he calls this one guy in who owes 10,000 talents. Now, to you and me, that doesn't mean anything. We have no idea how much a talent is worth, let alone 10,000 of them. But to Peter, he knew. He understood. You can almost see his eyes bugging out of his head, the utter bewilderment on Peter's face when Jesus gives this number of 10,000 talents. To put it into a way that we can understand, perhaps, it's like Jesus was saying that the servant owed the king a quadrillion bajillion dollars. It's astronomical. It's just downright ridiculous. How could he owe the king so much money? And why would the king even lend out that much money in the first place? And why isn't this guy in prison already? Well, the king is finally going to put this man in prison now. But the man pleads with the king and promises that he will repay every last red cent of what he owes. Now, if owing that much money seems completely and utterly ridiculous, how much more so this guy claiming that he can pay it all back? The king knows better. He knows that this servant won't be able to pay him. And what's more, the servant really does know this too. He knows that everything he's saying is really just a lie. There's no chance for restitution here. But the king has this gut-wrenching pity and compassion on this man. We've heard about this godly compassion before. And so he forgives the debt. Free and clear, the debt is gone. There's no repayment plan, no reduction of the debt where the servant still must repay a portion of it. All of it is gone. The servant is free to go like it never happened. What a weight to be lifted off of him. What a complete and utter relief must be had. He can now go home to his wife, his children. He can now go back to his life with this sort of forgiveness welling up in his own heart to do the same exact thing for his brother. Because that's what forgiveness instills and creates in us, in the forgiven, the desire to forgive like we've been forgiven. So the man heads home. But before he even gets home, he stumbles upon one of his fellow servants, who, in retrospect to the ridiculous amount of money that the first servant owed the king, the second only owes him a couple hundred bucks. It's a real debt. Let's not pretend that it isn't. But in comparison, now this man, he should forgive, just like he has been forgiven, but he doesn't. He can't. He still sees forgiveness as a number. And it's apparent that he views himself as worthy as worthy to have received the forgiveness from that king. But we have to be honest, again, with ourselves. If forgiveness has to do with worthiness, has to do with, I promise that I won't do it again-ness, has to do with, I'll really try harder next time-ness, then it isn't forgiveness. It's a transaction. It's something earned. And therefore, it's not of grace or mercy. It's not of the gospel. We make it of the law. So the first servant throws the second in debtor's prison until all that debt can be paid. And he does this because that other servant, he deems, really isn't worthy to receive forgiveness. For to him, forgiveness is of the law, and it must be earned. But if he only knew and understood that unworthiness is tied to the very thing that makes a sinner worthy for forgiveness. If he only knew that grace and mercy are of the gospel, that they do gospel-y things that make no sense to the law, then this man would have gone to his fellow servant and he would say, "Stand up, brother, your sins are forgiven." But he doesn't. He doesn't do this because at the end of the day, he rejects the whole idea of forgiveness. He rejects the idea that forgiveness is unmerited and unwarranted, that it's free and clear and has nothing to do with works or deeds or good intentions or worthiness. Forgiveness for him is of the law, so it's not really forgiveness at all. The king, he gets wind of this. He hears of this wickedness that's just transpired, but that's what it is. Rejecting forgiveness is nothing less than pure and complete, utter evil. So he calls this evil man to himself. This man who hates the whole idea of forgiveness. This man who's still convinced that the king forgave him because there was something worthy in and of himself. The king calls this man and says, "You now have what you want. You hate forgiveness. You despise the whole idea of grace and mercy. You demand that things make sense to the law. Well, then fine. You get that very thing." And the king throws this evil, forgiveness-hating servant away into prison until he can pay every single last dime. And all of us know that that's never going to happen. Now just picture Peter. Does he look eerily similar to the face that you see when you look in the mirror? He should. And so, hear Jesus' words to Peter as he speaks them to you as well. "Hey, dummy," Jesus says. "Do you remember the first servant in my story? That's you. Of course that's you. And that quadrillion, bajillion dollars that is owed is the debt of your sin that you've racked up against your heavenly Father. And you come promising to pay him all back, everything that you owe, but you know that that's impossible. You know that you'll never be able to accomplish that. He knows it too. And yet, he doesn't require a single thing from you. And it's not because you're any better than your brother, the one who owes you a couple bucks. You both owe him more than you could ever repay. But he's forgiven it all. Goodness, that's why he sent me. I've taken your debt. I'm headed to the prison of the cross to pay for all of it. Nothing's going to be asked of you. In fact, it's all going to be asked of me. But I've got that taken care of. Don't worry about it. And for the love of God, don't think that you've earned it. It's forgiven. And forgiveness means that you've done nothing, that you could never do anything. It's purely and totally and utterly a gift given to you. But now you come asking me a question about forgiving your brother. After all of that, and you tie a number to your forgiveness, what part of forgiveness don't you understand? Why are you placing it back into the realm of the law when it can only be something of the gospel? That's not how forgiveness works. Tread lightly here, Peter. For if that's what you demand forgiveness to be, if you demand that it's a thing of the law, if you demand that your brother is placed under the law once again in regard to you, then what you are really demanding is that you are placed under the law in regards to God. And that's not a place that you want to be. Jesus' last words in our text for today are nothing to be trifled with. If you despise the gospel and its forgiveness, then the law will be your only measuring stick. But that's not how God intends it to be. His forgiveness is free and it's clear. And it unexpectedly produces in you for others the very same thing that it unexpectedly gives to you from God. The forgiven forgive. That's what they do. What else could they do? They can't do anything else than forgive. And there's no number tied to it. There's no debt indebted too much. Nothing of the law whatsoever is prescribed to it. It is of the gospel. It is of the cross. It is of Jesus for you. Jesus for every single sinner in this world. Yes, Jesus even for that brother who sinned against you. You're forgiven. You're not under the law. Same thing applies to your repentant brother. Don't put him back under the law that Christ has freed him from. Go and forgive your brother from your heart, a heart that has been cleansed from sin by the gospel of Christ crucified. Know what true and complete forgiveness really is. And do away with every single number that you want to tie to it. In the name of Jesus.